SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
It is a huge Monday live right here all across the Sports Grid Radio Network on Football Full Circle. Starting as we speak, as this show starts, as the program begins on this Monday, it is officially, as of noon Eastern time, the contact window in the National Football League. This is a huge week in the early portion of the offseason. It is the official beginning of the offseason. The NFL League's year start on Wednesday, but you can start to make contact with free agents around the National Football League, reaching out as a different NFL franchise as of this moment. We are going to get the deals. We are going to get the news. We are going to get the updates around the National Football League with the league year beginning in just over 48 hours. He is Joe Lisi, the mastermind of the pigskin. I am Ben Stevens. Joe, where to begin on this Monday? So much news in the last 12 to 16 hours around the National Football League. Big time quarterback moves made on Sunday. Big wide receiver news on this Monday. A lot to choose from, a jam-packed hour here on FFC.
Yeah, this is what it's all about in terms of the offseason, right? The prelude leading up to the upcoming NFL draft. We saw Russell Wilson potentially now signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers. News out of Cincinnati with T. Higgins that had the franchise tag. Now he wants out of Cincinnati. So this is where either teams make it or break it in terms of free agency. And I have a feeling, Ben, we're just getting started. This is just the tip of the iceberg, and we'll see how it plays out over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, absolutely so. And that's the start of it, Joe, right? The official league year is Wednesday. So any reported deals, any contract extensions, those cannot be signed until Wednesday in terms of those free agents. So Russell Wilson is not officially a Pittsburgh Steeler as of this moment. But if the news is out there and there is intentions and there are contract facts and figures, that deal is as good as done. Let's make sure we bring in our Sirius XM audience here on Channel 159. That's the home for Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. A busy week, a busy Monday, live right here on Football Full Circle with the official NFL league year for 2024 starting on Wednesday afternoon. Joe, I think we go quarterbacks first, then we'll get into the wide receiver news of this Monday morning. We start with Pittsburgh's new quarterback. That is Russell Wilson. He intends to sign with the Steelers when the league year officially begins on Wednesday afternoon. The veteran minimum, that's a one-year deal worth only $1.2 million. Money is not really the main concern for Russell Wilson after he signed the long-term contract extension with Denver. Of course, that came to a close after only 2 years. So after a disastrous two-year stint, Joe, in the Mile High City, what do you think Russell Wilson brings to the Steelers?
Well, he brings a veteran experience as it relates on the football field, Ben. But the problem that I have is that two former Super Bowl coaches in terms of Pete Carroll and Sean Payton decided to move on from Russell Wilson because they didn't think he was a proper fit for their organization, you know, a couple of years ago and more importantly this year with the Denver Broncos. And that is the biggest factor, I think, when you look at Mike Tomlin, you look at the young football team in terms of the Pittsburgh Steelers. They get to the playoffs by Mason Rudolph, their third stringer. Now you bring in, you know, Russell Wilson. What does that mean for Kenny Pickett in terms of his development, number one? And number two, what does it mean from a continuity and chemistry perspective? Because we saw Russell Wilson wear out his welcome with his last two NFL organizations. That is the biggest question, especially when you have a young team that has had locker room issues. George Pickens, in fact, this is a head-scratcher to me for Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
So for me, Joe, it's actually the opposite. I think this is a very sound move by Pittsburgh. I thought whatever team would take a shot on Russell Wilson would be able to get a 9-time Pro Bowl quarterback, and we'll talk about the future for Russell Wilson up next, but you would be able to get that quarterback with the pedigree on a discount. This is a very large discount. 1 year, $1.2 million. If it does not work, that anchor will be dropped very, very quickly. But it was clear to me, Joe, that Kenny Pickett was not the future anymore in the Steel City. He obviously was injured, which opened the door to Mitch Trubisky taking over, then Mason Rudolph. But he was healthy, or all signs were that he had returned from the injury by the time Pittsburgh had reached the playoffs. And to fail to win the starting job for a playoff game over Mason Rudolph sealed his time as the Steelers' main frontrunner to be that starting quarterback. I think Pittsburgh is going to tell you it's going to be a three-way quarterback competition this training camp between Russ, Kenny Pickett entering year number three, and even Mason Rudolph. It is clear to me that Russell Wilson will be the week one starter for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And frankly, Joe, I think it's an upgrade. 17 years under Mike Tomlin, of course, never a losing record, never less than 8 wins, 11 playoff appearances. They have not reached an AFC championship game in over a decade. And by no means am I going to argue that Russ makes them a true conference contender, or even maybe a sleepy, you know, under the radar type of team to win their division or win the AFC. I don't think they make the playoffs, but I do think Russell Wilson is an upgrade at the quarterback position, and that's at least a start for the Steelers.
But yeah, and I understand that assessment, but if you're not, if you don't believe that Russell Wilson can lead your team to the playoffs, or more importantly, lead your team to an AFC championship appearance, then why do you make the move? That is the problem. I mean, they got to the playoffs last year with Mason Rudolph. You would think that if they do solidify the quarterback position, it's to take the next step or be the face maybe potentially of the franchise for the next 3 to 5 seasons. I heard, and we heard these rumors, that Mike Tomlin loved Justin Fields. Now, Justin Fields potentially comes with a bigger price tag, maybe than Russell Wilson, but at least if you hit pay dirt with Justin Fields, you have a young quarterback that you could build around, and that is the biggest thing, I think, right now for Pittsburgh. What is the identity, and what is the direction of the organization? Is this a one bridge gap type of quarterback, or is this a rebuild to the sense of, okay, we're still looking down the road to rebuild this whole organization from the inside out? That is the problem I have with this signing of Russell Wilson. It's a stopgap if you believe that. I don't even think he's a stopgap. I think he might bring this team down as opposed to elevate them.
Yeah, so that's where I think we disagree on what Russ has left. And that's really the story, right? Is Russell Wilson going to be a steady presence? Maybe not the guy that was let Russ cook, or a top 10 quarterback in the National Football League. 9 Pro Bowl seasons in a decade in Seattle. I don't think that version of Russell Wilson is walking into the door at Acrisure Stadium by any means. But do I think he can be maybe a top half NFL starting quarterback? Maybe, just maybe, at least top 20. I think he's an upgrade over Kenny Pickett for a defunct Steelers offense over the last few years. By no means, again, am I arguing that this elevates the Pittsburgh Steelers to an AFC frontrunner, or maybe even solidifies their spot in the playoffs, but with a lot less at the quarterback spot. Pittsburgh has been a playoff contender virtually every single year under Mike Tomlin, at least in the last 3 years or 2 years since Ben Roethlisberger retired for the Steelers. There was some market movement after the signing of Russell Wilson last night. Again, not made official until Wednesday when the league year around the NFL begins, but they were 40-1 to win the AFC championship. Take $4 off that price. It's now 36-1, but Pittsburgh still the longest number out of the 4 teams in the AFC North, and 11-1 price to win the division. More quarterback news from Sunday into the wide receiver news in this busy week in the off-season portion of the calendar in the National Football League. We're back in just a few minutes on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. This is FFC. It's a busy week in the NFL calendar. It's the official start of the NFL offseason. The league year for 2024 starts on Wednesday afternoon. As of 12 minutes ago, noon Eastern time, clubs around the NFL can start to make contact with those potential free agents out on the market. But trust me, I say that in air quotes. The burner phones have been working during the non-tampering window over the weekend. So big quarterback news, Joe, on Sunday. Russell Wilson Wilson intends to sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers, because Baker Mayfield had been back with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, even though he was a free agent technically. It's not the non-tampering window. After not placing the franchise tag on Baker, the Bucs worked out a long-term extension with Baker Mayfield, which was the expectation. Three-year deal, $100 million, $50 million up front and guaranteed over the span of the first 2 years of that contract. Joe, we expected Baker to return to Tampa. He does just that.
Yeah, I think if you're Todd Bowles and you have your eyes set at potentially making another run at the playoffs, you need your trigger man in terms of Baker Mayfield in that lineup. Even though there is a new offensive coordinator, it doesn't matter. Baker Mayfield was one of the most prolific quarterbacks over the last 7 weeks of the regular season heading into the playoffs. I mean, he averaged 289 passing yards per game, almost 300 passing yards per game. They had an offensive identity. They were able to challenge defenses over the top. Mike Evans, you know, that quarterback to wide receiver relationship will now continue. We haven't seen that since, you know, Tom Brady. So this gives the offense an added dimension. They can challenge anybody within the conference. And now they just have to worry about the defense. If they can put certain playmakers around them, build up the rushing attack with Rashad White, I think they could have a pretty good ball club and maybe make it to the second round yet again this coming season.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting, Joe, when you think about Tampa Bay, because I look at the odds right now, and I think there's a slight discrepancy in the NFC South divisional prices. Atlanta was the favorite to start off the offseason when these markets came out about 2 weeks ago. That's where they remain, but it's a plus 130 number on the Falcons, almost a dollar in front of the Buccaneers at plus 220, and then the Saints behind Tampa with a plus 320 price. I don't think there should be that big of a gap between Atlanta and Tampa, but I think the reason there is, and the reason the Falcons are the favorites, Joe, ties into some quarterback news we expect at a certain point this week. That's a Kirk Cousins number for the Falcons. That's a Justin Fields potential number if they swing and miss on Kirk Cousins now that he is officially a free agent. That's what that number means to me, Joe. That's not a Desmond Ridder resurrection number. That's not a Taylor Heineke number. That's not a rookie quarterback at eighth overall number. That's a Kirk Cousins number at plus 130 for the Falcons, in my estimation, to win the NFC South.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think it's more of a Kirk Cousins number than potentially Justin Fields, even though you could argue that Justin Fields is even a better fit in terms of that offense. I agree with you in terms of that plus 130. It's also a little bit, I think, as well, with Canales taking over the reins in terms of Carolina. What do you get? Is there slight regression as it relates to the offense now in Tampa Bay because now Canales is the head coach with Carolina? So I think that's twofold, right? Cousins potentially going Atlanta and Tampa Bay maybe slightly regressing, but I don't see it. I would still make Tampa Bay the front runners because I was very impressed, even with the defense. That was the one question mark I think about Todd Bowles heading into this year, is that, you know, the defense wasn't where it was even years ago when they won the Super Bowl. They regressed a little bit towards the end of the season 2 years ago. They were run on. That passing secondary was abused by certain quarterbacks. They really buckled down. I mean, they were a bench but don't break type of defense towards the end of the year, became a little more opportunistic. So I would agree with you. If I'd have priced that division right now, I still would make Tampa Bay maybe plus 130 and put Atlanta, even if they got Cousins, maybe in the plus 180, plus 190 mark.
I absolutely agree. I do not believe that the Buccaneers should be that far behind Atlanta at this moment. At least that is my idea. So I think there is a little bit of value on the Buccaneers. Mike Evans returns as well. I think there's going to be a lot of consistency for Tampa. And if the NFC South has taught us anything over the past two seasons, to win the division, you don't need to be spectacular. The Bucs won it with a losing record under Tom Brady a couple of years ago. And for the Buccaneers a season ago, they were able to come out on top even in to week number 18. We also got some trade news as it pertains to the quarterback position. The Mac Jones Jones era, Joe, in Foxborough is officially over. New England sending Mac Jones to Jacksonville for a sixth-round pick. My main takeaway, Joe, is this. Four of the five quarterbacks taken in the first round of the 2021 NFL draft are more than likely not going to play or even be on the team that drafted them by the start of their fourth year in the NFL at the beginning of this upcoming season. And all five QBs were taken in the first 15 picks. The only guy now has a new backup in Mac Jones. That would be Trevor Lawrence first overall. He is the only quarterback out of that top five, or out of those five quarterbacks, Joe, in the top 15 that I think will play or even be on the franchise that drafted him in 2021. Trevor Lawrence was one. Zach Wilson was two for the New York Jets. That partnership is coming to a close. Trey Lance was three for San Francisco. He was traded last offseason for a fourth rounder to the Dallas Cowboys. It seems as though Chicago is going to make a move with Justin Fields. He was drafted 11th overall in 2021. Mac Jones, number 15 overall. His time with the Patriots is done. He's now the new backup, I guess. At least we'll start this season in the quarterback room in Duval County.
Yeah, it's interesting because now how does that relate with looking back, right, and seeing the success or regression of all those quarterbacks? How does that equate to this year's draft class? I think is potentially eerily similar. So that is the concern for NFL teams as well. And when you look at Mac Jones, you can make the argument, not a lot of playmakers around him, but he was a deer in the headlights towards the end of his playing days in New England. He didn't look like a solid decision maker, didn't know like where he wanted to go with the football, force balls into coverage, became a turnover machine. So that doesn't translate even to becoming a backup quarterback. Hopefully with Doug Peterson, he can coach him up. But bigger picture, Ben, I look at this draft class and you look at the five guys or six guys that we potentially mention in the first round, it's going to be very intriguing because if you're selecting a quarterback top five, and I've said this time and time again, this has got to be a plug and play type of player. This is not a project where you allow him to sit two, three seasons and see if he could develop. Look at these quarterbacks that you just mentioned that once they have their opportunity, they're no longer starters. You need to make that assessment sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I would completely agree, Joe. And that is the expectation. We see quarterbacks go early and often. The days of learning behind a wily veteran for 2 to 3 years, those are done. If you're spending a top five, a top 10, a top 15 pick, hell, a first rounder, you are expected to be the guy from day number one, at least in month number one, and that's probably if you're drafted 20th or later in that opening round. Not the case for the 2021 NFL draft class. Trevor Lawrence, the only guy that's really still the face of the franchise, and are there questions around T-Law? We shall see. Some news, by the way, as we got free agency started. After he was cut by Buffalo late last week, Mitch Morse, a Pro Bowl center, one of the anchors of that offensive line in Western New York over the past 5, 6, 7, 8 seasons, is now going to do the same for Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville, signing or intending to sign with the Jags. And that's not going to be a thing that is looked over. Trevor Lawrence needed better protection last year, Joe. He'll get a great anchor to do that at the center spot with Mitch Morse.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what you need, right? You know, and I thought that the rushing attack was a little inconsistent with ETN towards the end of the regular season. They didn't run the football consistently. That put them into predictable situations. And Trevor Lawrence was under duress each and every time. And that led to turnovers. So you solidify the center and the offensive line perspective. Now you can run it. That opens up the playbook for Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence.
Yep, I would think so as well. There is plenty more news around the National Football League with a focus on the wide receiver position as of this Monday and the booming time it will be, the contact between NFL teams, players, agents, all of that as the league year begins officially in 48 hours, but it really starts today. Next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. Some big news around the National Football League. The contact window, noon Eastern time. We're technically in the legal tampering period, if you want to call it that, before the league year begins on Wednesday. Agents and teams can start to make their contact. But, Joe, we know We're not naive. We're not innocent. We know that's been happening well before the noon Eastern time hour. And big news as of this Monday. I teased the wide receiver position. I promise we will get there, but this is breaking news. The Chicago Bears and DeAndre Swift agreeing to a three-year, $24 million deal after a career year in his only year in Philadelphia. The Philly native and the former Georgia Bulldog will now be the running back for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, and he looked rejuvenated last year, didn't he? He looked like he did back in his days in Athens. I mean, the cutback ability, the vision, the ability to catch the football out of the backfield. I thought DeAndre Swift was worthy of where he was taken in the draft 4 years ago. So if you could get that for Chicago, now you have an added dimension with or without Justin Fields or maybe even Caleb Williams. This offense has a legitimate running back that they could give the rock to 20 to 25 times. That is the one thing. He's got the body type to carry the load for the Chicago Bears. They didn't give him the workload towards the end of the regular season with the Eagles, especially in the playoff loss to Tampa Bay. But we know how Chicago wants to run it and rely on defense. This is a pretty good fit if that's the type of mentality they're going to have this year.
Started 15 games, played in 16 games. This is his best season by far on the ground, 1,049 yards. Also 214 through the air and a touchdown. He had five rushing scores as well. The only year, Joe, he has had more than 155 attempts. He had 229 and 1049 on the ground. The only year he has had more than 617 rushing yards. Spent his first 3 years in Detroit after he was drafted early in the second round back in 2020, spent his fourth season in Philadelphia, will be 25 when the new league year begins. In fact, DeAndre Swift just turning 25 about 2 months ago, which is always the interesting component of the running back conversation. Now, I will say, Chicago has the cap space. They have a ton of cap space this offseason to rival anybody else in the National Football League. I've said this before in the show. I'll reiterate it. The Bears can control the offseason with the first overall pick, the ninth overall pick, and as much cap space as you could hope to deal with for Ryan Poles. And it's so interesting, Joe, because Matt Eberflus is back for year number four. You are going to more than likely draft Caleb Williams with the first overall pick, letting go of Justin Fields. We'll see what Chicago gets in return for Fields as well. That will only add to the draft capital and cap space roster fill out part of the conversation for this Bears franchise. But you're not expected then to have a win total of 6.5 next year. You need to win. Does that need to be a playoff spot? Does it need to be a winning record for Matt Eberflus to return for a fourth season in Chicago, to be there into 2025 and beyond, to keep some sustainability for a young quarterback in Caleb Williams, who is going to be the first overall pick, but not playing with a franchise that generally when you draft first overall, you're hoping for 4, 5, 6 wins and some improvement. That will not be the case for this Bears organization. They are very much in a belief they can win right now. I would expect a lot of the same. But, Joe, they decided not to pay David Montgomery last offseason. Instead, he has a big year with their divisional rivals in the Detroit Lions. They draft Roschon Johnson last year in the fourth round, spending on a running back in the draft. That's kind of the way the running back conversation and value works in the National Football League. You can get a guy that you drafted on day three to have similar production to then somebody you would have to pay. And now they're giving DeAndre Swift $8 million annually. It's not necessarily a super rich long-term extension with a ton of guaranteed money, I am sure, but it is an interesting move. And not only for the Bears, Joe, but kind of sets the market in terms of what we can expect for all of those other free agent running backs, Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, Austin Eckler, Tony Pollard, Josh Jacobs, and the list goes on in terms of what they might be looking at in terms of their new deals with new teams and compensation-wise this offseason.
Yeah, I think it's important to recognize, you know, the running back position is more of a plug and play. You could take, you know, maybe a second tier or second rate running back and still get productivity, right? Look at what the Eagles did in regards to DeAndre Swift last year. People thought Swift was dead and buried, and they manufactured a 1,000-yard back out of that. So if you could find the right fit and get him on the cheap, that's something to keep an eye out on. And you mentioned Saquon Barkley. We know that the Giants tagged him for 1 year last year. Now he's going to move on. What is his marketability? Teams like Houston do have interest. And I think it's interesting as well when you look at the fit for the Chicago Bears, right? Okay, they want to run the football, but you know, this division is a black and blue division. You have Jordan Love and a very sophisticated passing attack that came on towards the end of the regular season. Detroit, that made it to the championship game. Both of those offenses can run it and they can throw it, right? You know, that is the MO of both Jordan Love and Jared Goff. Look at now with Minnesota. Okay, if they lose Kirk Cousins, you still have Justin Jefferson, one of the most prolific wide receivers at the position there. Who's going to be the trigger man? What are you doing in Chicago? To your point, if you take Caleb Williams, you need more playmakers. You can't just have a running back. You need weapons. You need wide receivers outside of DJ Moore. How does this develop for Chicago big picture? I'm curious to see. Are they going to be the same old Bears? You know, we're going to try and grind games out 17-13? Or are they going to actually put playmakers around either Justin Fields or whoever they draft in the draft?
Lisi, if you can hear me, I'm having some technical difficulties on my end.
Yep.
Pick it up. I will be right back here on Football Full Circle. Appreciate you.
Yep, no problem. And I think that's the problem that you have if you're the Chicago Bears right now and Matt Eberflus. Matt Eberflus is a defensive-minded head coach. He wants to grind games out. He wants to run it, keep it close to the vest. And that's fine if you have an elite defense. But at the end of the day, to challenge teams like Green Bay, to challenge teams like Detroit, especially in terms of conference and divisional matchups, you need to throw the football. If you draft Caleb Williams, Ben, you still have to put playmakers and wide receivers around them because, again, that can only lead you so far, and that is the identity issue. I am curious to see what they do after signing DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, me as well. Again, so much cap space to spend this offseason for Chicago. Bears the third best number to win the NFC North now at 5-1. I don't think that's a DeAndre Swift move. I think that's the Vikings falling to plus 550 with the idea that Minnesota might not be as strong in the running for a return of Kirk Cousins as people thought. This is a really interesting division, though, because how low is the floor? Detroit, the favorites to win a division for a second consecutive year, something prior to last season the Lions had not done in three decades. And the Packers showed a ton last year with a very young roster that is only expected to be better. Joe, some big wide receiver news on this Monday as well. Michael Pittman re-signs his deal with the Indianapolis Colts. He was placed under the franchise tag last week. He is now finalizing a $70 million deal to remain in Indianapolis. And speaking of wideouts under the franchise tag, T. Higgins has officially requested a trade from Cincy after being placed under the tag by the Bengals early this offseason.
Yeah, and what does that do, right? That is that is the thing. All right, they tagged him, and we're like, okay, you got Jamar Chase. You have now T. Higgins. That continuity with Joe Burrow is going to be there. Joe Burrow coming off another injury. You know, now if Higgins is disgruntled, what does that do to the chemistry of this locker room? That is the biggest thing, is that you worry about the window. The margin of error and the regression is always there, and that's why Kansas City has done a fantastic job with less, because they have Pat Mahomes, the best quarterback on the planet in terms of 2024. So what happens with T. Higgins? I can tell you right now, I just thought, you know what? T. Higgins to Chicago makes sense. He's a cold-weather player, has played in Cincinnati. I wouldn't mind having T. Higgins outside of DJ Moore in that lineup.
Yep. Yeah, it's a great move, and there is some draft capital that could be given back to Cincinnati, because the Bears have a ton of that as well, to get a marquee wide receiver. Now, I wonder, not if it's posturing necessarily. I don't think T. Higgins is very happy being placed under the franchise tag, expecting that long-term deal with Cincinnati, but I think the Bengals are a little bit more focused on that long-term deal that is forthcoming for Jamar Chase. So that's just kind of where he stands in the Bengals organization. Maybe not the 1A, however you want to describe him, not happy with his situation in Cincinnati. I do think it hurts the Bengals. I don't think it's a killer necessarily to Cincy by any means, but part of the luster of this Bengals team and being a contender is T. Higgins and Jamar Chase and how explosive the offense can be. But just to say, we haven't seen any moves in the market based on this news that T. Higgins now wants out. The Bengals had the fourth best price to win the AFC at 7-1. As of today, still 7-1. The Bengals had a 15-1 number to win Super Bowl 59, seventh best around the National Football League. It remains 15-1. I don't know necessarily, Joe, if this means that T. Higgins is out of Cincinnati. I still think it could be a pressure play to amp up that pressure on the Bengals to negotiate that long-term deal with him to keep him out of having to play under the franchise tag this offseason. And part of the deal with the tag is teams can trade for him, but if you're trading for T. Higgins, you're also giving him a long-term contract extension, or he's not going to be happy in his new home under that franchise tag either.
Yeah, it's a great point. You know, he's worthy of a long-term deal. I would give him a 3- or 4-year deal. I like his body type. Keep an eye out for this. If they do lose him, does Cincinnati go all in to potentially Justin Jefferson?
Whoa. Hey-o. That would be a reunion of LSU wide receivers that could dominate the National Football League for years to come. We'll see about that. We'll see what Minnesota's plans are with J-Jet. They hope to keep him in the Twin Cities. Plenty more coming your way on Football Full Circle next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
So, we're focusing on the wide receivers right now. T. Higgins has demanded a trade after being placed under the franchise tag by the Bengals. We start there quickly, Joe. Then we'll get to Michael Pittman Jr. for Indianapolis. And then some news for the big fellas up front around the National Football League as the contact window has opened up, which means the floodgates have opened, which means any of those big free agency moves or re-signings and restructurings of long-term contract extension are starting to hit the wire. Joe, do you think ultimately T. Higgins will be traded by the Bengals at a point this offseason?
I do, because here's the thing, Ben. If they wanted him, why didn't they? We always talk about this. If you find the guy is worthy, you know that you're going to, all right, you're going to franchise him. You know, you get a pulse whether or not he's going to be happy or not. You knew that if you did that, B then happens, he's going to be disgruntled. Then if you want to just sign him, just sign him. Like, that's what I don't understand. Why? We saw this with Lamar Jackson last year in terms of, oh, we're going to do it, we're going to do it, but we'll let it drag out for 7 months. The player gets upset. He wants to feel valued. He wants to feel like his current organization values his productivity, and because of that, we're going to sign him for a long-term deal. There's no thought process involved. You're a product, you're a part of our championship team. We want you. Here's the money. Let's move on. If you haven't done that, it's not going to end well. Now, it ended well for Lamar Jackson, But that is not the norm on 90% of these cases. So I think he's gone.
Yeah, so it's really interesting, right? Is it a power play? Is it a leverage play? Will there ultimately be a renegotiation between the Bengals and T. Higgins and his representation? Because in my estimation, Joe, the franchise tag kind of works in three ways. It's a way for the NFL organization itself to try to maximize its value and its cap space. They don't believe at this moment that T. Higgins is worth the market value at the wide receiver spot, knowing they have to pay Ja'Marr Chase in about a year, maybe even sooner than that, having paid Joe Burrow what currently is still the richest deal in NFL history at $55 million annually. That's where Cincinnati stands. So then you go to the second place of it. Are they then using the franchise tag to maybe not have T. Higgins test the open market, reset what a wide receiver number might be, but still work with him to find a long-term contract extension like we just saw with Indianapolis and Michael Pittman Jr.? Maybe, just maybe, where it's a long-term deal, it's worth insert X amount of money per year, but it's maybe not the top of the market or one of the five highest paid wide receivers in the NFL based on where inflation has taken that value to. Or is it a way now for another NFL team to trade assets back to Cincinnati for the Bengals to recoup some sort of a loss for T. Higgins? Could be a first-round draft pick. Could be a couple of second- and third-round draft picks. Whatever it looks like for T. Higgins, whatever that value is in the market, then for that new NFL organization to now say, all right, we got to give this guy a long-term deal. That's part of what it would take to acquire T. Higgins. That's all part of the conversation. I still probably fall somewhere between 2 and 3. that I do think the Bengals are actively working to bring T. Higgins back, but maybe not on a value, at least in the market, that he feels is fair for his output. But, Joe, the Indianapolis Colts placed the franchise tag on Michael Pittman Jr., and he is now finalizing a three-year, $70 million contract with Indianapolis that includes $46 million guaranteed. Again, that is much more than the franchise tag value is for the wide receiver position, and it makes Michael Pittman Jr. the highest-paid player or one of the highest, more accomplished Colts wide receivers in franchise history. Sorry, I read something wrong there, but now he is back under a value that is more than the franchise tag. Is that what he could get in the open market? Could it be closer to $25 million a year? We'll never really know, as the Colts and Michael Pittman have agreed to that three-year, or will agree to that three-year deal when the league year begins on Wednesday. 3 years worth $70 million.
Yeah, I feel like he's a consummate professional, right? He just goes about his business. You know, he was the leader of that team as it related to the wide receiver position, produced, and now you pay him the money, right? I think the Colts would be doing a disservice to not sign him and get a three-year deal done, because I think he's one of the most prolific wide receivers in the AFC. He's a smooth route runner. Maybe he's not as explosive as, you know, Jamar Chase and some of the others, but he produces each and every week, and he's like that under-the-radar type of player, just like him and T. Higgins up until this point, right? Now, T. Higgins this year is disgruntled, but he's just gone about his business, right? He's been an ultimate performer, steps up in the biggest games, produces. You want that type of player on your roster, right? That's just somebody that you know, comes from a winning organization. You want him on your team, you pay him. I think that's
Absolutely.
But I think that's exactly the situation in terms of T. Higgins as we relate both. It's one thing, the Colts didn't wait all that long, right? We knew that they put most likely they tagged him, and then all of a sudden they give him the deal, right? Where are we with, like, T. Higgins? It's like, all right, we tag him, and now let's see what happens. But, T, if this happens, then we want you. If this happens, we don't know. Then now you're playing with the guy, right? So that's what I'm trying to say. It's like, if you're – and Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, no. You can't tell me his teammates don't know. They don't reach out. What is the pulse of T if we do A or B? Come on. You got to, that's what a winning organization does. So you got to know that you can upset T. Higgins. But again, maybe they have another secondary plan in place, and that's why they're waiting to see how this plays out.
Absolutely so. Listen, there are a lot of similarities between Michael Pittman Jr. and T. Higgins. He was the first pick of the second round in 2020, 33rd overall. Michael Pittman Jr. was the second pick of the second round, right behind T. Higgins at 34th overall. T. Higgins has been a 1,000-yard receiver twice in his first 3 years in the National Football League. Michael Pittman Jr. has been a 1,000-yard receiver twice in his first 4 years in the National Football League as well. T. Higgins did it earlier on, a little bit banged up a season ago. Michael Pittman Jr. has played in at least 16 games each of the past three seasons. He has had at least 88 receptions. T. has never gone over 75 in his career, not to necessarily compare both of them, but we've had at least 88 grabs for Michael Pittman Jr. in the last 3 years. He has had at least 925 receiving yards in each of the past three seasons with at least four touchdown grabs. T. Higgins has had a year where he had seven touchdown receptions. There are a lot of similarities between these guys, and if Michael Pittman Jr., who has been a staple of consistency, is getting that three-year deal worth $70 million, and he's kind of the guy in Indianapolis, if T. Higgins becomes the guy somewhere else, maybe he's looking at a figure a lot like that, or maybe that's what he's going to have to go for back to Cincinnati. But you're right, Joe, in terms of the timeline. The Colts were adamant. Indianapolis hosts the NFL Combine. Indy's GM, Chris Ballard, was speaking to the media in Indianapolis, asked about Michael Pittman Jr., and he virtually said he's a Colt. He's going to remain a Colt. They place him under the franchise tag. They don't let him test the waters in free agency. They negotiate in good faith and bring him back for a deal. So a big day, a big free agency period for those guys that went 1, 2, and 3 in the second round in 2020. T. Higgins demands a trade. Michael Pittman Jr. has his long-term deal extended with Indianapolis, and then you had DeAndre Swift, who was picked third overall by Detroit, now on his third NFL team, reportedly signing a three-year, $24 billion deal with the Chicago Bears. Some big news for the big fellas on this Monday as well. Philadelphia and Landon Dickerson agree to a four-year contract extension that has a maximum value, Joe, of about $87 million per year with $50 million guaranteed. Those numbers would make Landon Dickerson, out of Alabama, a second-round pick in 2021, the highest-paid guard in NFL history. He has been a Pro Bowler before for Philly. They will keep him in Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's important. You want to solidify the offensive line, especially when you lose Jason Kelce, right? You got to solidify it. I mean, and look at that playoff loss to Tampa Bay. Jalen Hurts was under consistent duress throughout that ball game. So, absolutely, you get an opportunity to sign Dickerson, you take that chance because he's a mainstay for that offensive line. You're going to have to build continuity this year. Lane Johnson, right? He's gone too, I believe. So, that's huge for the offensive line. Dickerson, you want him there for the next few years. You want to run the football, and you need your quarterback upright. So that is the first step to winning the division and, more importantly, challenging for an NFC championship this year.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Landon Dickerson, fourth year about to be there in the National Football League, has been a Pro Bowler the last 2 years for the Eagles. What a wild saga Deion Dawkins took Buffalo for today. About 37 minutes ago now, he posted a cryptic message, a screenshot on his Twitter. It was good while it lasted, Buffalo peace. Excited for this next chapter of my football career. And then pretty much 15 minutes after that was posted, Deion Dawkins is back for Buffalo. The Bills signing Deion Dawkins to a deal that looks a little bit like this. Trying to find the actual figures for Deion Dawkins. I will do so in just a moment. But Deion Dawkins, Joe, for lack of a better term, is back in Buffalo. Three-year deal, $60.5 million extension. It's expected to make him the fourth highest paid tackle in the National Football League. So Deion Dawkins, who has spent all 7 years of his NFL career, the last three a Pro Bowler, anchoring that left side for Josh Allen, remains in Buffalo.
Yeah, the rope-a-dope, right? You put out the cryptic tweet, and there we go. We're signed 15 minutes later. I mean, again, you know, Buffalo had an identity of running the football, not just with Josh Allen, but with James Cook and those running backs at the end of the regular season. So that you need your quarterback upright. He's the best offensive tackle on that team. He's 29 years old, blue collar, comes from Jersey, by the way, at Temple. We know that. So that's a legitimate signing. You have to do that to take the next step, and we know what they did in regards to cutting all the defensive talent. Maybe it was to obviously sign Dawkins and solidify the offensive line. In order to compete for a championship, you need to run the football, especially in road environments, and that's what Buffalo wants to do, and Dawkins definitely helps them get there.
Listen, over these next few days, as the league year approaches officially on Wednesday, but with this legal tampering period underway as of noon Eastern time, 50 minutes ago, we are going to get breaking news left and right. And that just happened, Joe. The Tennessee Titans are giving Cowboys running back Tony Pollard, former Cowboys running back, I should say now, a three-year, $24 million deal. That is pretty much the same annual average salary. It is exactly the same annual average salary. We'll see about the guaranteed money that DeAndre Swift just got from Chicago, but both receive a three-year, $24 million deal after both were let to go in free agency. So DeAndre Swift makes his way to the Bears. Tony Pollard signed by the Tennessee Titans.
That's a head-scratcher, and the reason why I say that is they have Tajay Spears, same type of running back, right? So what is the identity of this team now? You lose Derrick Henry. They don't have one back that can carry the ball 20 times, so they're going to split carries between Tajay Spears and Tony Pollard. Okay, great, but I think that's a terrible signing. Sorry, I don't think it's a right fit for Pollard, and I certainly don't think it's a right fit for the new identity with the Tennessee Titans, especially if you want to help about a young quarterback in Will Levis.
So that's the interesting thing to me, Joe, right? It seemed as though Tennessee was making their move to let go of Derrick Henry, not to sign another veteran running back, but to let Tajay Spears lead the show and probably fill in around him. Instead, after 5 years in Dallas, Tony Pollard now becomes a Tennessee Titan. He was expected to emerge on the scene last year after he was placed under the tag and the Cowboys let Zeke walk, Ezekiel Elliott. It wasn't necessarily the banner year we expected. It took Tony Pollard a long time to find pay dirt, only six touchdowns a season ago. still over 1,000 yards on the ground, but an intriguing move for a new Tennessee team under new head coach Brian Callahan, to say the least. We'll have a couple of more updates around the National Football League as the legal tampering window in that National Football League has begun ahead of the league year starting on Wednesday. More Football Full Circle coming your way next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle for just a few more minutes. It's been a busy Monday. It will continue to be a busy week around the National Football League. The league year officially begins on Wednesday afternoon, but as of 57 minutes ago, at noon Eastern time, you could start to make contact with players around the National Football League. The legal tampering window, we know that probably tampering has been happening, and some of these conversations have been going on over the past few days as well. And Joe, we just finished with the breaking news that Tony Pollard is signing a 3-year, $24 million deal with Tennessee. A peculiar deal for a Titans team that let Derrick Henry walk, did not place the King under the franchise tag. He's 30 years old, okay? All good. Makes sense, despite still being productive this past season. You're going to trust the second-year pro out of Tulane, Tajay Spears, who flashed at the end of last year, I think is a dynamic player. All makes sense. You're not expected to do much. You're in a weak division in the AFC South. Second longest price for the Titans to win the AFC. So why pay Pollard $8 million annually to bring in another running back? A peculiar move by the Titans, Joe, in my estimation.
It is, and they have no wide receivers. I don't understand. They had Robert Woods. They had Treylon Burks. That didn't pan out. I mean, come on. I mean, again, this is talking, and I don't love Will Levis, but if you're going to make an assessment about Will Levis, you need to put playmakers around them. It's the same situation as Justin Fields. I'm selling Tennessee this year.
Yeah, I was never very optimistic about the Titans. I didn't love the hire of Brian Callahan, maybe a couple of cycles ago, but sure, we'll see what the first-year head coach is going to have in Nashville. It's a franchise that is searching, in my estimation. I still don't believe Will Levis is that guy. Joe didn't believe that last year. We were both pretty critical of any of that draft steam that you would hear around Levis. That was our take. I just don't really get this move to bring in a running back, at least pay a running back, when that's not really your projection for this upcoming season. We'll get more of those moves. Some will be head-scratchers. Some will be home runs. We'll break them down this week on Football Full Circle all across the Sports Grid Radio Network. He is Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. We'll talk to you tomorrow on FFC starting at noon Eastern time.